Greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this Good Friday morning. I'm going to preach a sermon that is simply entitled INRI, I-N-R-I. And as we come to consider this day and this text that we have chosen from John's Gospel, let us first turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne and we ask that you would speak through me. Thank you, Lord, that we can today celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We pray, Lord, that this message will bring a special significance to it in the hearts of your people. Lord, may we make this special in our lives as well. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Please take your Bibles and page it to John chapter 18. We're going to read from John chapter 18, verse 28, to John chapter 19, verse 27. But as an introduction to my sermon, which is simply entitled INRI, I-N-R-I, I want to say that I grew up as a Roman Catholic in my childhood. And there are certain things that I do remember with some special love as I think about the background from which I come. We used to enter the church. We used to dip our fingers in the holy water and make the sign of the cross. And the sign of the cross was part of everything that we did as Roman Catholics. And in the front of the church was a massive crucifix, massive cross with the image of Jesus hanging on the cross. Now, this was special because before this crucifix, I used to bow. Before this crucifix, I used to kneel. Before this crucifix, I received Holy Communion facing that crucifix. That cross was important for me. And even though I didn't quite understand what it really meant, I was always bothered by this one question that lurked in my mind. What does that sign above the head of Jesus pinned on the cross, what does it mean? INRI. Well, that was something that was lurking in my mind until I became a Bible reading believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and discovered what the meaning of INRI is. Well, I want to say that the story is about a man by the name of Pontius Pilate. And much is said about him, but the text that we are going to read has what is called the royalty theme. The royalty theme. And it concerns itself with one question, and that is whether Jesus is the King of the Jews. John's Gospel, chapter 18, and we will read from verse 28. And this is where Pilate, Pontius Pilate, is introduced to us for the first time, and then we go on as we read the interactions mainly between Pontius Pilate, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jews who accused our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he was not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." But We have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. This happened so that the words of Jesus, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" That's the first question Pilate asked. "Is this your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" That is the second question. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I came and was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is the truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." This is the second time Pilate makes the statement. When Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." That's the third time he says it. The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know or realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who is handed me over to you is guilty of the greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are not the friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. They shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over for them to crucify him. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened it to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, because the place where Jesus was crucified was next to or near to the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares for each one of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Pilate opens this communication with the Lord Jesus Christ with a very important question. In fact, he poses four main questions in this whole of this text. But the question that interests me is the one where he asks the Lord Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" In 18 verse 30. This is the only question that Jesus answers to. But there are two other important questions. In fact, three other important questions, but two of them amounts to the same thing. The first is, what charges are you bringing against this man? And the second one is, what is it that you have done? The first time that he asks this question, he poses it to those who accuse the Lord Jesus. What charges do you bring? And the second time when he asks this question that amounts to the same thing, he asks the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that you have done? So let's take that as one question. What are you accused of? Then the third question that he asks, which is quite important, is, where do you come from? Now, these four questions, or three questions now, are important for us to consider. The first question, are you the King of the Jews? That gets answered by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only one that is answered by the Lord Jesus Christ. The second question, what have you done, is not answered by Jesus, nor by anyone, but it unfolds and it is revealed in the story as we go along. And then the third question, where do you come from? Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't answer. We don't find an answer in this particular story. But for those of us who are the readers, we already know that Jesus comes from above. The Lord God had sent him. So for the second question, what did you do or what have you done? We have to say, let's see how this text reveals the answer to that question. But the point of today's message is the first question, and this is the question that actually initiates the royalty theme in this passage. The royalty theme in this passage. There are no fewer than 10 direct allusions to the fact of Jesus' kingship. And that's why it's called the royalty theme. But as to what Jesus has done, I think I just want to simply say this. As the text unfolds, there are three charges that are revealed that I just want to point your attention to, because this is an important question. And then we will come to the question. The question is, are you the King of the Jews? But as to the question, what have you done? Or what are the charges against you? We see that the text, as the story unfolds, reveals that there are three charges against our Lord Jesus Christ. The first is a criminal charge. Pilate asks the question to these Jewish leaders, what charge do you bring against this man? They don't tell us what the charge is, but their answer goes along this way, and they answer, if he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. So in other words, what they are saying is, we are handing him over you for some criminal activity. We don't know what that activity might be, but the first charge we can say without specification is the charge of criminality. There is the criminal charge that is laid against the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is not specified. The second charge that surfaces in the story is the religious charge. He ought to die because he claimed, him as a man, claimed to be the Son of God. And anyone who claims to be the Son of God makes himself equal with God. Now I'm adding what is said in John chapter 5 and verse 18. The Jews sought to kill him, not only because he broke the Sabbath, but also that he made himself, or that he claimed to be the Son of God, making himself equal with God. So the religious charge against Jesus is that he calls himself, or he claims to be the Son of God, and according to that, it is blasphemy, because that makes you equal with God. That is the second charge against our Lord Jesus Christ, found in John chapter 19 and verse 7. The third charge is a political charge. And the political charge basically says, anyone who claims to be a king cannot be the friend of Caesar. One who claims to be the king opposes Caesar. And so that is a political charge, because in the political charge, the king stands then in opposition to one who is the ruler. And in fact, when Pilate asks them the question, shall I crucify your king? The answer is, we have no king but Caesar. And then they call for Jesus to be crucified. These are the three charges that come out, that are revealed in the story as we go along. A criminal charge, a religious charge, and a political charge. And so I would say that the text sufficiently answers that question that we've amalgamated. What charge do you bring against this man? Or the question to Jesus himself, what have you done? That leaves us with this important question that initiates this particular theme, the royalty theme. Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus basically answers the question, yes, I am the king of the Jews. So we see the first statement, are you the king of the Jews, is then brought forth by the whole idea, my kingdom is not of this world, else my servants would have fought for me. But my kingdom is for another place. So that's the second allusion to his kingship. And then the third allusion to his kingship is Pilate's understanding. So then you are a king, because you can't have a kingdom if you're not a king. And so Pilate comes to the conclusion that Jesus is a king. And so Jesus' kingship is demonstrated for us in this royalty theme that is seen all over this particular text. Then we see that Pilate goes out and Pilate says, I find no basis for a charge against this man. Then he says, but on the Passover, I normally release a prisoner. And then he says, the fifth assertion to the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ is, shall I release the king of the Jews for you? And they say, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. And beloved, I think at this point, I just want to give you this side fact. Barabbas, Bar Abbas, would mean the son of the father. Now, isn't it strange that the son of the father, Barabbas, is released in the place of the son of the father in heaven? Well, that is just for you to think about. But in any case, here is a fifth time that Jesus is alluded to as king. But the sixth time when Jesus is alluded to as king is that Pilate gives over Jesus to be flogged. And they flogged him, I'm sure the soldiers did. But then they put a crown of thorns together. They weave a crown of thorns together and they put it on the brow of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here now he's got a crown. They also have a purple robe that they give and clothe him with, so that he has this crown and a purple robe. That for them, that was a mockery that he is a king. But the Bible says here for us that they would time and again go up to Jesus and say, hail the King of the Jews. Hail the King of the Jews. I don't know how many soldiers they were and how many times they did it, but many times they said, hail the King of the Jews. The sixth time that Jesus is said to be king, King of the Jews. Again, Pilate, after the beating and the flogging of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, when they came to him and said, hail King of the Jews, they would strike him in the face. And every one of them, every time they came up to the Lord Jesus Christ, will strike him in the face. I can just imagine by this time, the thorns brought the blood rolling over his face. And by this time, his face might have been swollen for all of the striking that happened with every hail the King of the Jews. And so Pilate brings out the Lord Jesus Christ and for the second time says, I find no basis for a charge against this man. But Jesus, as he comes out, Pilate, and I like the way the King James Version puts it, says, behold the man. In other words, look at what a sight. And Jesus comes out and they say, crucify him, crucify him. They didn't want this Jesus. Shall I crucify your king? That is the seventh time that Pilate uses or alludes to the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is a king. And they say to him that we have no king but Caesar. So the Jews took Jesus away. 8 times now, Jesus has been referred to directly or indirectly as king. And Pilate says to them, crucify him. This judgment is pronounced at the place called the pavement or Gabbatha. And they take the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says he carries his own cross to the place called the skull. This place called the skull is called in Aramaic Golgotha. So the skull is probably was in Greek. And then this place is also called Calvary in Latin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is crucified. And as the crucified one is crucified with two others next to him, Jesus in the middle. And yes, I think that maybe Jesus was crucified in the middle of between these two sinners because they wanted further insult to be upon him, to bear upon him. But you know what? Their insult only brings to us the realization that in his death, our Lord Jesus Christ identified with sinners. And so, yeah, we are still dealing with this question, are you the king of the Jews? It has been asserted a number of times, alluded to a number of times by the Jews, by Pilate, by the soldiers. And so finally now, with Jesus hanging down that cross, Pilate had an inscription written, prepared, and the Bible said he pinned it on the cross above our Lord Jesus Christ. And what this said was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. But we know also that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. He is the King of kings and he is the King of glory. So we find in our Lord Jesus Christ that indeed he is the King. And this question, are you the King of the Jews, has been answered. It has been answered by Jesus. It has been answered by Pilate when he realized that he is the King. And then the Jews still further try in the tenth assertion. The ninth assertion was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then the Jews come and they try to deny that. The question has been answered. Are you the King of the Jews? Yes, I am the King of the Jews. So then, you are a king. Hail the King of the Jews. Hail the King of the Jews. And we ourselves answer that question, that Jesus is the King of the Jews, that Jesus is the King of Israel, that Jesus is the King of the universe, that Jesus is the King of glory. We believe that with all our hearts. They are taking the King and they are crucifying the King. He who is the King of kings. That question has been answered. And that question has been confirmed by this thing that has been placed there on above the head of our Lord Jesus Christ, Imri. Jesus of Nazareth, Rex, the King of the Jews. The I is for Jesus. The N is for Nazareth. The R is for Rex or King. And the I at the end is for the Jews. So Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This is our sermon title. And this is the person who was hanging there on the cross. That specific person there hanging on the cross. We will know, we will remember that he is the one that died on the cross. And the Bible tells us that they crucified Jesus. And Pilate prepared this notice. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iodorum. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many read it. Many understood it. Because Jesus was crucified close to the city. Many people saw that message that Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, was hanging there, was there crucified. And the Bible says that that message above the head of our Lord Jesus Christ was written in Aramaic. Aramaic was the people's language of Palestine. They could understand it. It was also written in Latin. Latin was the official language of Rome. The Romans could understand it. And it was written in Greek. Greek was the common language of the whole then known world. And everybody understood that he who was hanging on that cross was the king. So, beloved, the question that is asked, are you the king of the Jews? Is a question that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can further give meaning to. Because for us, he is the King of Kings. For us, he is the King of Israel. For us, he is the King of the universe. For us, he is the King of glory. The message is clear that the one who is hanging on that cross is a king. But we also know from the rest of the Bible that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, would sit on the throne of his father David and he will reign forever. So he is king forever. They have crucified the Messiah. They have crucified Jesus, the Savior. They have crucified the King of the Jews. They have crucified the King of Israel. They have crucified the King of the universe. They have crucified the King of glory. They have crucified the King of kings. Praise God that he is my king. And when they protested, came this 11th assertion. Why do you write? Do not write King of the Jews, but rather write that he claimed to be King of the Jews. That repetition repeats it for us an 11th time in this text, that Jesus is King. And this royalty theme that is found here in John's Gospel is something that lifts up my heart and should lift up your heart, because there's no one but the King of all the universe who died on that cross. And the next time when I preach to you, you will know that this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus of Nazareth who is the King of the Jews, was approved of God. He was accredited by God. And ultimately, the Jesus who dies here on the cross is the one who will raise again from the dead. And he will be king over life and over death. He will be king of everything. And so, yeah, this story tells us that we have a Savior. He's the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of Man. He is the Savior. He is the man God, or the God man. And only in him can man and God be reconciled. And praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. The question that was asked was, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus said yes. Pilate said yes. The Jews did not want to admit it. But they also said yes. The soldiers mockingly said yes, and you and I can say yes. So the question is answered. But the question also that is answered is confirmed. And with this I close. The question is confirmed. What I have written, I have written. What I have written is law. What I have written stands. Nobody can change it. There can be no misunderstanding. The one hanging on the cross is the King. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, Imri, I-N-R-I, King of the Jews. God bless you.